Communion Easter. We have had communion Good Friday on Friday. If you were not here on Friday, I encourage you to listen to the sermon online, because it's going to give you a lot of background and context for what we are talking today. Okay? It's fresh in the mind. Who was here Friday? It was only Friday. Can I ask questions? I'm giving some looks to certain people. It's okay, even I can't recall. I also need a paper to help me, a computer. So it's fine. It's not important that it's here. It's important that it's where? In the heart. The right place to store the information. So, Luke chapter 22, it's our first reading, followed by 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, we are not going to dig into the verses. We're going to overview, see things from above, so we grasp the whole concept. Let us pray before we read. Lord, thank you so much for the Bible. We ask you to bless us with your word today. Give me grace to preach, and give all of us here, including me, or firstly to me, a heart that listens, Lord, and a heart that sees. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 15. All the way to 20, the same one we read on Friday, says this. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now let us turn our pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 11, verse 17 to 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 to 30. And the Bible says this, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Communion Easter. We had communion on Good Friday. Today we're not going to have communion, but we're still going to talk about communion. Because as we saw on Friday, these two are together. The day that the cross happens, the day, one night before, there is the meal that represents the cross. And in the Old Testament, the day that the people of Israel went, got into a covenant, into a relationship with God by the blood, it was the very same day that they walk up to the mountain and they had a meal with God. These two are together. That's why we're seeing things through communion, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I have one picture that's going to tell us everything. Chana, the car. You have the windshield and you have the mirror. What is the mirror for? To look back. What is the windshield for? To look ahead. When we are talking about Easter, when we're talking about communion, we are always talking about back, the cross, the resurrection, but we are also talking ahead. We are going to be raised. We are going to eat the Lord's Supper, not with the elements of communion, but with heavenly bread. We are going to have another meal with Christ. He said that, not in here, but in the everlasting life. So every time we talk communion, we talk about the past, what He has done for us, but we also talk about our hope in the future. Is that clear? So with that in mind, I'm going to bring the first meaning of communion. And now we are not talking about the cross. Now we are talking about the resurrection in communion. I need to give an information that usually all of us, including me, we forget. The cross is a sacrifice. Yes or yes? But let me give you this news that we forget. The sacrifice is only accepted if there is a resurrection. Do you remember the sons of Aaron when they went to sacrifice to God and they brought weird fire? I don't know if the English version says weird fire. This is my brain translating. They brought weird fire. They brought a weird sacrifice to the Lord and they fell dead. Was that sacrifice accepted? No or no? No. Do you remember Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist? Raise your hand if you remember him. He was in the temple and he had a vision. And then he stayed there for a long time. What do the people start to think? Anxiety. What's going on? Why is this man not coming out? Because everyone knows if the man passes away while he's sacrificing the lamb, that means that the sacrifice was not accepted. That means that God is still mad at the people of Israel. So every time, year by year, that the high priest would come to the altar, the people were anxiously waiting outside. They cannot know what is going inside. It's not a mirror. It's not a window. It is concrete. There are three doors into the innermost holy place of the temple where the sacrifice takes place. And nobody sees, only the high priest is there with blood sacrificing. And the people are anxious. Is he going to come out? Is he going to be accepted? Is God favorable to us or not? It all depends if they see the high priest opening the door of the temple and coming out. Now think about the cross. When did Jesus die? Friday. If he had never risen, you and I, we would be wondering, did God accept the sacrifice? Did God forgive us? Are we good with God? Are we saved? Why? Because if he was never raised, we would never know if the sacrifice was accepted. But Sunday comes. But the third day comes, and our high priest, what happens to our high priest? He comes out. What is that telling us? The sacrifice was accepted. The sacrifice is completed. Whoever believes in him is forgiven. We always forget about this. We think only about the cross. But the resurrection is what testifies that the sacrifice was accepted and that we have salvation in Jesus Christ. And now, Communion, Easter. What does this have to do with communion itself, the table we have? Remember, on Friday we saw that some people think that the bread, it is literally bones, flesh, and ligaments. And we said no. Some people look to the cup, and they think that the cup, it's not wine. They think that the cup, it's blood. And we said, no. We do not take communion literally as the body and the blood of Christ. We take it in a spiritual manner. It is the body and the blood of Christ. It communicates the body and the blood of Christ spiritually. So we have a table that it's naturally that communicates spiritual truth. Let us come back to the cross. The body that it's smashed, crushed, and dies on the cross, it's a body just like me, because Jesus was good looking like me. No, I'm joking. It's a body just like mine. It suffers. After a long day, you want to sleep. If you have bad news, Lazarus is dead, you cry. This is the body, natural body that goes to the cross, that suffers and that is sacrificed. Just like the elements of the table of the Lord, it's natural. But how does it look, the body that comes from the grave, from the tomb? It is another body. Sorry, it is the same body, but it is another body. Now Jesus, uncorrupted. Now Jesus dwells in heaven. Now Jesus shines. And the best picture we can give is when you look to the sun at noon. And as soon as you look to the sun at noon, your eyes come back. You need sunglasses because it's too much of light. This is the new body that Jesus raises. It's not the same old. It is the new. And these are things that we are only told about. These are things that only the disciples have seen, the ones we call apostles. And that's why they are the ones proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. But this is something we all gonna have when he comes back. But this is something we all gonna see when we see him face to face. So the manner we approach the table, the elements are natural, but he communicates life to us spiritually. Why? Because guess what? When he raised from the dead, it is not this life that is communicated. It is the spiritual, eternal, and glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ that it's communicated. That's why the resurrection is such an important part of communion and of our faith. Is that clear? Good. Second point, the elements of communion, the bread and the wine. To take the elements of communion, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he asks us to use glasses. That was a clue. That was a cue. Good. Trisha is smart. You see the glasses? To take the elements of communion, the Apostle Paul calls us to use the glasses. Because pay attention to the Corinthians church. They eat the bread and the wine. But Paul says, it is not the Lord's table you're eating. They eat in the church. It is not the Lord's table you're eating. They eat with people. It is not the Lord's table you're eating. Because again, it is not about the bread or the wine. It is the manner we approach that table. That it is what it's communicated. So the Apostle Paul calls us to use his glasses. And the first thing he tells us to look, it's look back. Let me read verse 26 to you. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. We look back to the cross. And what does the cross tell us? It tells us this. The things we never received, but we should have received. I should have received punishment, but I didn't. I should have received condemnation, but I didn't. I should have received hell, but I didn't. The cross, when I look back, talks about the things that I should have received, and God graciously says, no. But in the same verse 26 says, you're going to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we are also looking ahead. And when we look ahead, we are looking to the things we receive that we should have never received. Salvation, a glorious body, blessings, the Spirit of the Lord dwelling us, the Spirit of the Lord being for us, the Spirit of the Lord being around us. All of these and way more are things that I should have never received, but the Lord gives me when I look ahead. Those are good, right? Can you say amen? Amen, good. Now it's the tough one. And that's why the glasses picture is here. We look back, we look ahead, but we need to look where? Inside. Raise your hand if you are a PhD, master's degree, doctor, and examine the others. Raise your hand if you're still on the elementary school when it's talking about examining the self. It's way easier to see the fall and flaws and seeing on the others. Inside it's hard. Can you say amen? A of pain, okay? A, ouch, man. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Every time we approach the Lord's table, look inside. And me, not only when we approach the Lord's table every day, life would be way more good if Gustavo stopped calling out Trudeau, poor Trudeau, all the time for every problem in Canada and start to look at himself. Right? And here is the tricky and beautiful message. When you look inside, you are going to find sin. You are going to find flaws. You are going to find so much mess. And then you think you should run away. You think you should avoid the table. But what the Apostle Paul says, examine and eat. Examine and eat. So many people, when they self-examine, they run from the church. And we say, if you found guilty and sin and problems, run to the church. When they self-examine and they see Jesus' glorious body, light that shines, perfect holiness, they want to run away. But what is the order and what communion teaches us? As soon as you self-examine, runs to Jesus, runs to the cross, run to the resurrection, run to him. Self-examine and eat. As my pastor Sani from Brazil likes to say, we leave sin behind and we run towards Jesus. That's the examination of the communion. Beautiful, right? Beautiful. And that brings us to our third point of the sermon, is the fulfillment of communion. And here it's clear, I believe by now, that communion is an ordinance. Just as Jesus says, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do that, so on and so forth. He says what? Do this. Do this. Do this. So it's an ordinance. Secondly, it is a celebration. Pay attention to my words very carefully here. In Brazil, a very much Catholic nation, I grew up with my friends, and I have seen that every time they take communion, and they take it every Sunday in the Catholic Church, or not every Sunday, every time they go to church, they take communion. In their mindset, I'm not talking about what they say, what they claim, what it's written, but in the mindset of the congregants, every time they take communion, they are forgiven once again, and once again, and once again. And little by little, this tells us that there is a misunderstanding of the Lord's table, and there is a misunderstanding of salvation. Because we take the communion as a celebration. You hear the words remembrance. Where is our salvation? Not in how many times we eat the table, not how often we eat the table. Our salvation is on the cross. Our salvation is on the resurrection. Jesus Christ's sacrifice, it's once for all. He doesn't need to die and die and die and die. He died once, he raised once. Death, we just read this, death will never take hold of him anymore. And so do we. As we believe in him, he lives in our heart, he dwells in us. You are assured that death will never hold you back again. So the Lord's table, it's not a new sacrifice. The Lord's table is a celebration. It's an ordinance and a celebration. And why did I choose communion to talk about cross and to talk about resurrection? Because we love to talk about food. Can you say amen? Amen. How much we learn from food, right? So pay attention to these things that communion, table, food, the Lord's Supper tells us. First thing, grace, gratitude. When the Lord Jesus, he breaks the bread, although it's a painful bread, what does he say? Grace. I don't know how hard is your life. I don't know for the kids who are born now in Gaza, in the midst of chaos. For the kids that are born in Haiti right now. Or if you were born in Kensington Palace and you are the next king, no matter what's your life, the Lord Jesus, when he breaks the bread, he's saying, I endure such a thing that no one will never endure. And still, what comes out of my lips? Gratitude. And we are grateful for the cross, and we receive grace from Jesus' sacrifice. Second thing, this is a fellowship meal. You see that the problem of Corinth, it was that they were together, but they were not in fellowship. And communion teaches us, because of the cross and because of the resurrection, that we have a fellowship with God, vertical. And if we have fellowship with God vertical, we need to have fellowship what? On the horizontal. Yes, this way. Now, think about this. Brazilians, they live at Rogers Road in Toronto. Indians, there is a part of them, they live in Brampton. Greeks, they live in Pape. Pay attention to this. We always following our people. We always want to be with our kind. Dutch church, there is what? Many Dutches. I call myself Christian, and I'm always without Christians next to me. Communion comes, I don't want. Weird, right? Was that a good example for Canadians? Yeah, good. And the third thing that communion teaches us is this assurance of salvation. Grace, fellowship both with God and with one another, and assurance of salvation. Pay attention to Luke. Jesus says this, I will not eat and drink this again. I will eat and drink in heaven. He's not saying, maybe you're going to be there with me. Perhaps if you're a good pastor, Gustavo, you're going to be there. Perhaps if you play the organ every Sunday, special requests from Sheldon, old songs, new songs, then you're going to be there with me. Or if you have a perfect church attendance, or if you come to games when it's games. Is that what Jesus is saying? Surely, we're going to eat this together again. Period. It doesn't rely on me, it does rely on him. Can you say amen to that? So the table of the Lord teaches about grace, about fellowship, and about our salvation that it's so secure in him. And I want to bring this sermon to the conclusion, thinking about Jesus' resurrection and death and the Lord's table with a picture of the cross, okay? Keep that in mind. First thing to conclude the sermon is this. This is the only thing that God ordained as a remembrance and announcement of his death. I have nothing against, but it's not the sign of the cross. It is not a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It is not the nice and amazing and beautiful movie, The Passion of Christ. Nothing wrong. But the only thing that Christ has requested from us to announce his death and resurrection as a symbol, as a remembrance, as a celebration is the Lord's table. So in the moment that we approach this wrong, we come up with great movies, great trips, great everything. But if we belittle the Lord's table, we are wrong. Okay? Second thing, talking about food. Communion, it's a fellowship meal we do in congregation. But salvation is individual. I cannot eat the bread for you. You cannot eat the bread for me. Mama loves me. Mama wants me to be in heaven. Mama wants the best for me. She cannot eat for me. You know people you try to help and you bring everything they need, but their life is not changed because you can only eat for yourself. There is a certain extent. There is a point that is the person, one-on-one with Jesus. And the eating means believing in Jesus Christ. He died, he raised. And the eating means I'm coming into a relationship with Jesus. Second thing that the Lord's table teaches, it is the manner we eat. It is spiritual. I gave you here sometimes difficult words, although I try to simplify everything I say because English is not my first language. I try to illustrate everything to make it very clear. But that's not the heart, or that's not the way I take communion and I'm saved. Maybe someone who cannot describe communion, the Lord's table, the cross and resurrection as good as a theologian, they approach the Lord's table and they appropriate themselves of the benefits of the Lord's table. I can be inside the Shoppers Drug Mart and know everything about Tylenol because Tylenol is the only medication they give in Canada. You know Tylenol this, Tylenol that, Tylenol sinus, Tylenol strength, extra strength. You can know all of this. But if you don't reach your hand and eat, you're still sick. You can be in front of the bread, hungry. But if you don't take and eat, still hungry. Communion is not a matter of you can tell me it's spiritual, Heidelberg Catechism, blah, blah, blah. The manner we take, we approach because Jesus died, because Jesus raised, and we are with him, and he is with us. That's salvation. And third and lastly, the cross. And that's very important to me. You are the judge. I am the guy who is being on trial. What does Gustavo preach? Does he preach communion? Does he preach the cross? Does he preach resurrection? Does he preach Jesus Christ? Or does he preach everything's going to be well? He believes in Jesus and there is a few goodies here that you can take. And then little by little, I shift the message of the gospel. And the center is not the cross anymore. Now the center, it's you. And all I do is talk about you and how you could make your life better and wonderful. Communion tells us the message of the gospel. It is the cross. There is a cross. There is a resurrection. And that's the message of the gospel. Salvation, eat individually. Not by how much I know, not by the historical fact that the cross is there and the tomb is empty, but by my heart appropriating for those truths, and the cross is the message. If I'm being saved to Jesus, I know that I'm saved for a life like his. Whatever it's different from that, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not the Lord's table. They can be preaching anything, Paul would say. You can be eating anything, Paul would say. You can be dealing with the elements, Paul can say. But it's not the Lord's table. It is not the Lord's message. Clear? Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your table. It truly feeds us. Your table is not food for our stomach that quickly goes away. Your table is food for the spirit that eternally feeds. Thank you for the things you have never given Gustavo on the cross. The wrath, the judgment, hell. And thank you for the things you ever and always give to Gustavo. Your spirit, salvation, heaven. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.